hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love to sing praise songs and know that because of that precious blood that was shed for you and I, that we can celebrate as the Lord being our Savior, Jesus Christ, in His mighty name, that we can call on during those times of storm and sorrow and grief. But we just know, no matter what, it's in God's hand. Praise God. Good to see y'all this morning. Everybody's looking really great this morning. We love y'all. Let's all stand, if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I know some of y'all just sat down. Got the choir behind us. Everybody's ready for service this morning. Let's be in much prayer for our service. And I know as we gather together and as we come in prepared, and so we can turn ourselves into one mind and one accord, just put it all on the Lord and let Him minister each and every need. But I know as we come to the Lord in prayer with that faith in God and all that He's done and doing for us in our lives, there are situations and there are prayer requests. We see through the text blast, the messaging. We have the prayer box and so many other ways of getting the word out about prayer. We get the comments. If you have a prayer request in the comment section, you want to watch it on live, welcome this morning. Please put it in there. We'll be glad to pray with you. Because it's nothing that we do. It's just as we come together, intercessory prayer. But it's in the name of Jesus because it's all about Him. Praise God. If you have a prayer request this morning or need, just show by the raising of your nose and sees each and every one. But what about all those answered prayers? What about all those many blessings God's given us and that freshest breath that He's given us this morning? Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just want to praise You. Lord, we want to lift You up and thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for this opportunity You've given us to gather together in Your house and in Your name. Lord, we just want to worship You this morning, dear Lord. We want to be attentive to the message that You have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll just release Your Holy Spirit amongst us, dear Lord. Let us feel Your holy presence. Dear Lord, we're not able to do anything. We're not able to even breathe without Your love and without Your permission and Your mercy. Dear Lord, we just love You. But, dear Lord, we need to praise You. We need to thank You for this day and every day. Dear Lord, as we come around in each and every testimony of praise, dear Lord, each and every situation that comes against us, Lord, we know what You've already done, dear Lord. We know what You're doing now and what You're going to do. Lord, now we're going to lift up each and every prayer to You this morning, prayer request. You've seen the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, You know those spoken and unspoken to each and every need. You know the depths of our hearts. And dear Lord, we're releasing our situations in our life to You right now. Lord, we're praying for healing. Lord, we're praying for protection, dear Lord. We're praying and thanking You for Your recoveries, dear Lord. And for those that need help right now, those that are in assisted living, nursing homes, Lord, strengthen them, dear Lord. Let them find that peace that only You can provide and that comfort that only You can give. Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord, those tragedies that we're hearing about right now and know of. But dear Lord, we love You. And dear Lord, for our lost loved ones, dear Lord, only You can give us that peace. And Lord, that promise of that great reunion in the sky, dear Lord, and I love to just lift it up to You. But dear Lord, now we want to ask You to be with the messenger this morning, dear Lord. Bring our pastor, strengthen him as he brings forth Your message. Dear Lord, and his family, dear Lord, let us have an open heart and an open mind. But dear Lord, we want to praise You and we want to thank You for that precious blood that You've shed for us, dear Lord. Because, dear Lord, without You, we're nothing. And, dear Lord, we thank You for that. And, dear Lord, may You be the Lord and Savior of each and every one that hears this prayer this morning. Lord, it's a call that goes out, dear Lord, not just here locally, but, dear Lord, through this community, through this state, through this world. Lord, the time is short, dear Lord, and we're asking You now. Lord, touch our loved ones. Touch those that we come into contact with. And let them feel Your holy presence and turn their life over to You, dear Lord, as we just call on Your name, Jesus. The Lord, in Your mighty name, Jesus, we just say amen, amen, amen. Let's turn. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I know as I was talking this morning, but the old rugged cross has been heavy on my heart. It's not just one time a year that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It should be every day in our life. And that we allow that precious blood that He shed for you and I. And even I can say it right now with assured confidence that when He was on that cross, He knew my name. And He knew how much I needed Him. And He knows you too. And we just love and praise You. Just all turn to page 305, the old rugged cross. Praise the Lord. seat if you can. I don't know about y'all, but the words of so many of these hymnals and the songs of this hymnal, so many are brought forth by the love and grace. And I know it had to be the work of God to give us that feeling every time we can sing these songs or hear them sung. We just want to praise the Lord. Again, just welcome everybody. So glad to have y'all. Had a good Sunday school class this morning. Hope everyone else did. If you're not in Sunday school, come join us. You don't know what you're missing. Not only you're missing the Word, which is the most important thing, but also the fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. I don't have any announcements up here. The dates are? Okay. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering? Yes, Lord. Amen.
It's a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, anybody here found joy? through the darkness, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. 'Cause greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember, the battle is the Lord's. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire,
together. If He's ever brought you through a storm, through the valley, and brought you to the mountain,
yes,
can
amen.
I get a witness this
yes,
morning
hallelujah.
Of what God has done?
Yes.
I praise Him this morning.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling doubt? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried for a miracle, and you've seen Him do the impossible, can I get a witness? Are you standing in a fire and the flames won't let you go, but you're still holding on to a single thread of hope?
Lord can deliver, and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, can I get a witness? If you can't stay silent, if you can't keep quiet, then here's your chance. Here's your chance. Can I get a witness?
Just go on and raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, anybody want to testify?
If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible,
can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Witness, anybody want to testify?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible,
can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? You know, time and time again, I've cried out for a miracle, and I've seen God do the impossible.
Yes,
and nothing is impossible this morning. I'm believing. I know back in March when God touched my mama, one day when I left home, she said, I'm turning this oxygen down and I'm coming off of it. And she did that day. And I'm believing that God is going to restore her lungs and she's going to come off of this oxygen. She seen the train go by this morning and she said, I want to take a train ride one day. I said, we got to get off this oxygen. And I'm believing that God is going to heal my mama today. There's nothing impossible with God. It don't matter what you're facing. It may be emotional. It may be physical, financial, whatever it is. We serve a way maker, and he's here today. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, if you feel the presence of the Lord, come on, give him praise. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. He's able.
Hallelujah.
Glory
hallelujah.
To God. How many
hallelujah.
Believe that there's hallelujah. Nothing that God can't do?
Praise.
Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Can we lift our hands all over this house this morning? Come on,
praise
can we thank you, Jesus.
Jesus?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, for your miracle.
Glory to God, Lord, for your presence, prayer, for your anointing, for your healing
thank
power.
You, Jesus.
God, we give you praise. We give you honor.
Hallelujah.
We give you glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise
hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your name, Jesus.
When every mountain seems too high, when every river looks too wide, when my dreams are lost in sea.
These words bless
my
you.
My life is built on this desire. Through the flood and through the fire, Jesus rescues me. My life is built on this desire. Through the flood and through the fire, Jesus rescues
one more time.
Me.
My faith is strong.
When every mountain seems too high,
every mountain,
every river looks too wide.
Oh, it looks too wide.
When my dreams are lost at sea,
my dreams are lost at sea.
Jesus rescues me.
My faith is strong.
Can I get a witness this morning?
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad that Jesus stepped in when all else seemed to fail? When the road began to get narrower and narrower, and finally you found yourself at a dead-end street. How many of you remember that spiritually? Thought that you'd never see peace and joy again. Thought you'd never have that satisfaction of laying your head on a pillow at night and knowing where we're going to spend eternity. But Jesus rescued me. Amen. I'm so thankful that he loved me enough to rescue me through his precious shed blood. Amen. Do we have any believers in the house this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to get into the word this morning, if I may. Certainly do not want to hinder the move of God. I said, I don't want to hinder the move of God.
Nothing is more important than the move of God. Hallelujah. And I thank God that He is a God at hand. I don't know how many times I heard my granddaddy say that. He's a God at hand. That means He's here. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's here. Hallelujah. How do you know He's here? Well, I brought Him with me. How about you? Amen. Thank God. Go with me this morning to a book that is seldom used in my ministry as a sermon. It's some beautiful writing, very poetic words, but I recall maybe on one hand the times that I've actually preached from it or used a scripture, but this morning, that's where the Lord has led me, and I pray that God will bless, amen, those of us who this word is intended for this morning. It is the Song of Solomon. In the second chapter of the Song of Solomon, I want us to focus on verses 14 through 16. These very poetic words that Solomon himself penned. Chapter number 2, verse number 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, or let us get foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, that you are a God at hand. For the healing, for the miracles that you've already wrought this morning, God, and by faith, those that you're still going to do. Father, I pray this morning, God, that your Spirit will come down in a mighty way. God, let it settle in this congregation. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips, God, this vessel this morning, God, this oracle, that you might speak to our hearts. Father, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word. For you will. And I pray, God, this message will go forth this morning, God, that you might get honor and glory. And we do remember those who are in need of prayer. Many are sick, many are afflicted, many are not able to be here this morning. God, reach out, minister healing and touch and anoint them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I have already stated, this may be an unusual text this morning. Maybe an unusual Scripture, but I believe all Scripture is for proof and edification and reproof, amen, and instruction for us. This morning, I want to entitle this message, Little Foxes, Little Foxes. We find here that historians and Bible theologians tell us that Solomon is writing to his beloved Shulamite woman who would eventually become his wife. Here in these poetic verses, he showers her with compliments. But also in these two verses that are three that I just read this morning, he warns of foxes, little foxes, who would spoil the fruits of love. Symbolically this morning when we read that, we think of Christ's love for the church. There is no greater love than what Jesus Christ has for the church and for his people and for those who are born again. And as we read these words, and I'm convinced that they were included in the Bible for our benefit, we read more than just a love letter. We read more than just a testament of their feelings one to another. There were some things that was impeding this relationship. There were those who looked down on it and scorned it. And those that would try to destroy this relationship, and Solomon knew that. He knew that it was going to be an uphill climb. He knew that it wasn't going to be an easy road to have this relationship. But yet his love for this Shulamite woman exceeded all of those issues and all of those obstacles, and all of the warnings of so-called people around him. And as he ensured her that his love was real. And as he comforted her and wanting to see her, they was not able to readily see her like he wanted to. He wanted to let her know. So he began to compile these verses and these poetic verses and send them to her, longing to see her. But she was not able to be there on a regular basis, so he used these poems. And he told her that she was hiding in the cliffs, that he could not, and he longed to see her countenance, her voice, and he longed to hear from her and see her. Symbolically, the loving relationship that we have with Jesus Christ should in fact never falter, never waver, never be as less serious today as it was when he first saved us. So I want to use this as a format, but I want us to get beyond the love letter that Solomon wrote to the Shulamite woman, and symbolically, let's parallel it to Christ's love for the church. Do you not think that he longs to hear from us? Do you not think that he desires to see us and have a loving relationship with us? Not a casual acquaintance, if you will. Not a relationship of convenience, but a relationship of devout love for our Lord and Savior. As much so as he loves us. I do not have the vocabulary to adequately explain to you or share with you how great the love that Jesus has for his people. For you and for me. The Bible says, no greater love hath a man than one that would lay down his life for a friend. How about one who would lay down his life for a sinner? How about one who would lay and die on the cross of Calvary to restore and redeem this lost soul? How about one who would stand there and let them beat him with stripes on his back so that we could be healed, so that we could receive that miracle, so that the anointing presence of God could be upon us, so that he could lift us up when we're down and out, so he could look at us and say, whatever the doctor said, I am the one that can restore you. I am the one that can heal you. With my stripes ye are healed. No greater relationship, no greater love has ever been exhibited on this world today than the love of Jesus Christ. I would share with us this morning, as God began to deal so, I guess, sensually with me, and I mean that in a spiritual tone, begin to get on my heart. What is it, the saying with parents, when your kids are little, they step on your toes. When they're grown, they step on your heart. There is an inevitable love for those children. Though we grow distant sometimes in location, though we don't see one another on a daily basis as we once did, they're still in our heart, and they're still on our mind. And the Lord began to deal with me this week. Lord, have we lost that love and that desire to have a loving relationship with you on a daily basis? Lord, have we realized that we can't make it through the day without you? Lord, I do not want to spend another sleepless night not knowing that you are there and my relationship is secure with you. And I know that I'm born again, and I know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life. Lord, this is the most important thing that we can have today, and we need to live it each and every day of our life. And as we parallel these poetic verses, let me suggest to you that Jesus Christ looks at the church as his dove, as his bride. Many referrals in the Bible talks about the bride of Christ and how the bride is supposed to be adorned, how she's supposed to be true to the groom, which is Christ Jesus. I think this goes without saying, but in this world, who knows? So I want to say it today. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other deity. There is no other Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one that the church must remain true to. We can't let our love waver. We can't let our devotion slide by the wayside. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that those of us who are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost ought to be more in love with Jesus today than we was way back when we received it. We ought to be so on fire for God that nothing in this world will detour us from our love of our loving Savior Jesus, because that's how much he loves us and more. So I would suggest to you that these writings are symbolic of Jesus writing to the church his doves. And could we also agree that the questions are asked, why are you hiding? Why are you in the cliffs of the rock, the places of the stairs? Let me see thy countenance. In fact, Jesus is the first and foremost love of our life. Why aren't we making him more a part of our life? Why aren't we more dedicated? Why aren't we more committed? Love in a relationship cannot be one-sided and expect to survive. As he loves us, we must love him. And if I saw anything in these scriptures, I saw that I need to be more loving to Jesus. I need to be more understanding of his ways. I need to be more submissive and more obedient to his will and not my will. My will is to be pleasing unto the Lord. My will is to live a life that God would be pleased with us. I'm not perfect. That's the reason I need his spirit. I'm not saying I've never faltered or I've never failed. I've failed many times. But because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his repentance and forgiveness, he lifted me up and he brushed off the sins of this world and he restored my soul. My soul cannot exist without the Spirit of the Lord. And I almost can hear him, our beloved, saying, where are you? I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be offensive. But in my mind, he looks around. He says, where are you? See empty pews today. Where are you? We see constant situations in people's lives. Our lover, our Christ, our heavenly groom. Where are you? I want to see you. I want to have that loving relationship with you. But you got to understand, you need to love me back. You need to make me the most important thing in your life. You don't need to have just a casual acquaintance with me. I must be the center of your life. I must be first and foremost when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. I'm not saying you can't have these other interests, and I'm not saying you can't have these other things, but I must be first in your life. And church, we have to have Christ first in our lives. Because without Christ, nothing else matters. Where are you? I long to see you. Desire to hear your sweet voice. And then the writer Solomon describes their relationship as a vineyard of ripe fruit. Often in the Bible, they use the analogy of fruit. In the New Testament, it talks about fruit. We must produce fruit. We must have the fruit. The joy, the love, the peace, the long-suffering, all of those wonderful things that come with association of being born again and having Jesus Christ alive and well in our life. I've said many, many times, Christian blood-bought saints of God ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen. I said, ought to be the happiest people in the world. Are we always? Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're not the billboard that we need to be. Amen. Sometimes we're stricken with grief and sorrow and pain and situations and all those things. But even above all of that, we still must let the light of Jesus Christ shine in our life. We have to. And they described it as a relationship of a vineyard of ripe fruit. But in so doing, and so realizing that, it must be guarded from that which would destroy it. I don't think I have to tell you that there's things today that's trying to destroy your confidence, trying to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ, trying to steal your victory, trying to take away your joy, trying to take away the very fact, amen, that you are living for Jesus Christ regardless of what happens around us. These truths, these precepts, these statutes, these words of God, these promises of God must be guarded. Must be protected. Solomon described them as foxes. Not only foxes, but little foxes. Let me tell you something that happened. Now, history tells us that it may have in fact been a Jekyll or a fox, but either one is treacherous to the fruit. And listen, the ones that they came was the low-hanging fruit. Your fruit off the ground. Keep your joy from hanging down low. Come on. Walk into the house of God with your hands raised, your soul open up, your mind on God. Don't walk in like you've lost your last friend. Don't walk in like it's been the roughest week you've ever had. I know we lose friends. I know we have hard times. I know the weeks have been bad. But let me tell you something. There is an enemy that wants to pounce on you every time you get your mind and your eyes off of God. We are children of God. We know where we're going when we die. We know who saved us. We ought to walk in glorifying and praising God, lifting up our countenance. And if you don't do anything else, just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you what that does. Absolutely scares the foxes away. Man. Say something else about foxes. I want you to understand, when I say foxes, you're probably looking at a little red furry animal with a bushy tail. Well, these foxes that I'm talking about are spiritual. They're devious. They're deceitful. And they're so nagging, and they're persistent. Let me tell you something. The foxes that came to destroy the vineyards, we're not there when the light was shining. They came under the cloak of darkness. Let me just give a pastoral warning this morning. If you're living in darkness, you need to get victory. If you're living and existing in a dark cloud of moodiness, anxiety, fearfulness, apprehension. Well, these foxes have got a lot of names. But you need to get victory. And the Bible tells us, and also the song tells us, we got victory in Jesus. We got victory in our spiritual lover. Pardon that term, but that's what it is. It's a love that cannot be shaken. Love that in spite of our faults and failures, He loves us anyway. Somebody ought to put your hands together if you know that we're unworthy of this love, but He loves us anyway. If you're operating in darkness, you need to get victory over it. Where do you get victory? Through Jesus Christ. And you're leaving your fruit hanging too low. Unguarded. Easily taken by the enemy. And let me tell you something else about the foxes, the little foxes. Not only did they I guess, ravage the fruit, but they kill the vine. I found out something about fruit. If you just take the fruit and you don't bother the vine, there'll be more fruit. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we're going to lose some fruit. If you've ever driven on I-20 at rush hour, you're going to lose some fruit. If nothing else, you'll just lose your joy. Amen. Just being honest. Sometimes you're going to lose that little bit. But as long as that vine is intact, glory to God. Our good neighbor went on vacation, and he left word with my wife, brought us a pan of okra. And he said, I'm going to be on vacation. He said, if y'all go down every other day and cut that okra, you can have all of that okra, and it'll keep it from growing and getting too hard. It's amazing. You go back every other day, and there's another pan full of okra. You know why? Just to leave the vines alone. Vines are still intact. They're still rooted. Come on, somebody. You need to be rooted in this. Come on, you don't need that root just to be kind of dancing on top of it. I'm talking about rooted. When you're rooted, the winds, the storms will blow, the rain comes, the hot sun comes, but you know what? You're just rooted deeper and deeper and deeper in the Word of God and in His grace and His mercy. And there's nothing, amen, that can deter you from raising your hands and glorifying and praising God. So, we find that these little foxes are intent on destroying the vine. Now, what Solomon is talking about is his personal relationship with a Shulamite woman. There are going to be some people that's going to try to break us up. It's basically what he's saying. This relationship's not going to set well with some who are in the palace. So these little foxes are going to try to spoil the vine. They're going to start saying things one about the other. Isn't it amazing how that people can live their life unabated, uninterrupted, until they decide that they're going to run for public office, and then everything in the world they've ever done suddenly comes to light. Not the good things that they've done, but the bad things that they've done. How many are so glad that Jesus Christ didn't broadcast our skeletons in the closet? Hallelujah. Not only did He not broadcast them, He does not hold us liable for them in the past. Because the blood that He shed washed all of that filth away. Washed all of that sin away. Glory to God. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. I don't know about your closets, but my closets were full. But thank God He took care of all of that. Because His love is so great for His people. But it starts getting dark. It's getting gloomy. And in the safety of our home and in clefts and wherever we are, these little foxes come out. And they start nibbling on the fruit. And let me tell you what little foxes do. Any kind of little predator, when they find something, they go get their buddies. First thing you know, your whole orchard is under attack. Just nibbling away. Trying to steal your joy. Trying to steal your devotion. Telling you, you don't need to read a Bible. Telling you, ain't no use in going to church. Church is full of hypocrites. God save them too. I said, God save them too. Amen. Yeah, I always wonder, what does that mean? If a hypocrite's in church and you ain't, are you worse than a hypocrite? Just thought I'd throw that out. These little foxes, they begin to nibble and they begin to eat. Destructive animals, destroying the grapes and the vineyards, doing their damage at night. How many believes the church is to be fruitful? Amen. We must produce fruit. If the Holy Ghost is within you, you're a fruit producer. Say that with me. I am a fruit producer. Not rotten fruit. Amen. But the fruit that Jesus Christ lives within us. Goodness, meekness, gentleness, all of those wonderful accolades that Christ himself exhibited when he walked this earth. That's what we are to mimic. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. If you're born again and you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you need to be a living, breathing example of the goodness of God. Wherever you go, whatever mood you're in, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, you'll need to testify the goodness of God. The church is definitely to be fruitful. Whatever hinders our relationship to Christ would be classified as a fox here, or as an obstacle, or as a hindrance. Now, I want us to get our mind off of the bushy-tailed little red fox, which, by the way, is a very attractive animal. Satan doesn't always come as a booger. Doesn't always come as an evil-looking monster. So much so that the Bible said he can even transform himself into an angel of light. Could be very attractive. Some of these disturbances, some of these hindrances, some of these issues in our life can in fact be very attractive. The allure of the world, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the carnality of this world. We have to remember that we must put Christ first. We must serve the Lord with our whole heart. I just want to share with you, if I can, just a very few of these little hindrances, disturbances. We've often said, you know, my granddaddy, it's not the big foxes, it's just the little foxes. You see, if you're a born-again Christian, you're probably not, you're probably not enticed with the huge, we're the ones that classify sin. I don't think Jesus does. He died for all sin. But you and I, let's get real. Sometimes we think some sins are greater than other sins, and because we're a child of God, we would never, ever do that. There's certain things that, we didn't know, absolutely. But you know what? All the time we're leaving our low fruit unguarded, and the little foxes are coming, and they're chomping away at some of our joy and some of our peace and some of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Certain things like discouragement. Discouragement is not a sin, but it can be a small fox eating away at your joy. Discouragement is something that probably every one of us have faced at some time in our life. We cannot live and operate in discouragement. Discouragement is something that we need to get victory over. Discouragement is something we need to put in the hands of the Lord. Amen? We need to be, if you cannot be encouraged by anything else, get your Bible out and begin to read the promises of God. Begin to read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's me, "did not perish but have everlasting life." It won't take you long to put that discouragement behind you. Amen? When you begin to read the promises of God. That's just one of many little foxes or hindrances. Another one we might classify as hurt feelings or bitterness. We, as born-again Christians, need to learn how to forgive and get over it. Forgiving does not mean condoning. You don't have to condone the hurt. You don't have to condone the bitterness that was directed to you, but you need to forgive it. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." If you want true peace and joy and a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ with nothing impeding that, then get rid of your hurt feelings. Get rid of your bitterness. Get victory over it. Sooner or later, it'll spoil the very relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Did I list this one? Jealousy. Jealousy. I think that little fox shows up a lot. Doesn't necessarily always mean in church. It means where you work. Be in your very own household. Jealousy. Somebody once referred to it as big ugly, big ugly green monster or something like that. I've never seen it like that, but jealousy can ruin your relationship with each other. God forbid that it ruin your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many knows that we are all placed in the body as it pleases the pastor? No. As it pleases the board members? No. As it pleases God. You're right where God wants you to be. He placed you where He wanted you to be. Well, y'all don't seem too happy about that. What does that say? I'm not what I was yesterday. I mean, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I was yesterday. Amen. God has placed you. Work if your finger in the body of Christ. Do it with all your might. Amen. God bless you and God keep you in the perfect will. Don't let jealousy begin to get hold of you. Idleness. You know what happens if I don't go cut that okra? It's hard. Not able to eat it. You know what will happen to your fruit and your relationship if you don't use it and each and every day? It'll get tough and hard. They'd even get to where the foxes don't want it. Idleness. What is idleness? They say idleness is the devil's workshop. Keep your mind and your body on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking and anticipating doing a work for Jesus Christ, whatever that work may be. Witnessing, singing, making music, living for the Lord. There's so many things that we can do in that relationship with Jesus. Anger, that goes without saying. Makes me mad every time I mention it. You know, I've told the church this before. You know, we're just constantly feeding those foxes and the enemy. We're just giving him all kind of ammunition against us. You know what? We'll be saying, "Say, you know what makes me so mad? The devil's over here. Let's see what makes you so mad." And then we'll list three or four things that just makes us absolutely so mad. And first thing you know, here comes old Satan throwing those things right at your feet and laughing at you. He wants to make you mad. He wants to make you upset. He wants you to lose your focus on Jesus. Temper that anger. I've already mentioned this. Carnal or worldly desires. Man. That's the reason that Satan makes them look so attractive, so that he can allure you away from your first love, your true love. Oh, wow, did I write this? You see, sometimes I'm under the anointing when I write these things, and then when I have to stand up here in front of you and tell them, I pray for the Holy Spirit. Self-justification. Another name for it is self-righteousness. We talked about it Wednesday night. A proud look. You know what that means? Esteeming yourself better than others. You know? Christ is definitely against that. Christ loves and exalts humility. But when we exalt ourselves, what would he do? He'll put us abase. Amen. Self-justification. I'm only saved because I'm a good person. I do this and I do that. And thank God I'm not like these other people. Man, the foxes have destroyed your vineyards. They have destroyed your fruit. I know that there is not a righteous thing about me except the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within me. And that keeps me humble. And I, as the song says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I don't even want to go anywhere without you going with me. I don't even want to say a word unless it's sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. And finally, maybe one of the most aggravating, garden-destroying, relationship-tearing down is taking Christ for granted. I mentioned it a while ago, a one-sided relationship. Now, we know that holds true in a natural relationship. You really want to get somewhere with your spouse? Start talking about something that they like, that they enjoy. Notice the dress or the shoes that she wears in a positive compliment. Even if you don't necessarily like them. Honey, you make them shoes look good. And if you do that on a continual basis, every once in a while she'll say, well, how did the game go yesterday? Boy, then you'll just, well, I tell you what, I just saw a great game. You know, that makes you feel good because she's interested in something that you're interested in. But then we go to Christ in our prayers. And we don't ask him how he's doing. Sometimes we don't even shower him with compliments and accolades.
It's God, you just got to do something in my life. It's all about me.
Call a one-sided relationship. Taking God for granted that he's just going to be there for our beckoning call, and most of the time he is. But I think sometimes he would just like for us to glorify and praise him and lift him up. Again, it goes back to that love. And I know this was a love letter. But you know, the four Gospels are full of love letters that Christ's own voice and words in red letters directed to us. If you're thankful for that, put your hands together for Jesus. Are you ready to destroy the little foxes? The little hindrances, the little objects that come in our life on a daily basis? Learn to recognize them. You know what? You might just do this. Somebody will think you lost your mind. You say, well, the pastor told me about it. When that happens, you know, just a kind of point of encouragement. You little fox, huh? Get out of here. And the people look around you, what are you talking about, a fox? My pastor said all these little hindrances are just nothing more but little foxes coming to try to destroy my joy. Amen. I will leave you with this, and I didn't have this written down, but I will leave you with this. There is a... It's, I don't think it's native to Georgia, but they came up from Florida. We've got a lot of good things out of Florida, but armadillos ain't one of them. But they've come up here. They've even got up to my yard. And one of our flower beds, Penny asked me, have you been digging in the flower bed? I said, not lately. And it's just got all kinds of little birds. So I went out there one night. There was this little opossum that had an armor on him. And he was just rooting down in there like that. But you know what I done? I shined the light on him. You know what that rascal did? He scurried away. I didn't know a little old thing could run that fast. Them legs was just to get in it. He was gone. You know what will happen when the foxes are eating on your fruit? Shine the light on them. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. I'm not going to preach again. I'm just going to leave you with that. Turn the light on the foxes. Turn the light on the obstacles in your life, and they will flee from you because they can't stand the light. But I want to live in the light, don't you? God bless you. Would you stand? Music, would you please come? Be honest with yourself. God wants you to be. because he already knows. You've been bothered by some little foxes in your life. Maybe it's not the ones I mentioned, but maybe it's something that continually kind of messes with your spirit a little, kind of tries to get you down, tries to get you thinking on what you don't have and what you do have, kind of reminded how bad things are rather than you thanking God how good things are with you. I assure you, if you dwell on the good things, they far outweigh the bad things. Amen. If that be the case, would you join us in prayer this morning as we pray?
Is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter.
It gets sweeter.
His love is richer,
deeper,
fuller, sweeter,
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 sweeter
as the day.
How many can attest to that? That relationship gets sweeter. Sing it again.
It gets sweeter.
Oh, it gets sweeter
as the days go by. It gets sweeter. As the moments fly,
his
love is richer,
yes,
deeper, fuller, sweeter
as the days go by. You believe it? Give it praise. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is great, isn't he? And the messages and the way he just keeps bringing the word to us each and every service is so powerful. Let's all come tonight. And as we get ready to close this service, we want to invite each and every one of you back to service tonight. Anyone watching online, if there's any way you can be here, come join us tonight as we prepare for just another message. It's a wonderful time to worship the Lord. God is so great in all things. We just want to give him all the glory, but also it's that relationship. Let's gather together as that relationship. It is close to God as we can. Praying for each and every one of you. Hope everyone's has a wonderful afternoon. Again, come back this evening for service. For our practice at 5 p.m., we just love to have you. If there are any other prayer requests or needs, please come forward. We'll be glad to pray with you. We want to give God all the glory in all that we do. All righty. Well, as we just want to remind y'all, too, as we look around and we see empty spots, let's be praying for those that aren't with us. Don't know all the stories. We know some are traveling, some are working, some are going through recovery or procedures. But also, I'm going to ask, I get to see them. My Sunday school class is in the other building. And each and every morning to see the kids running in children's church. And I know they've been filled with their Sunday school lessons. Then they get into children's church and to see all that energy and see it all thrown together, and also in their Bible study on every other Wednesday night. But our kids are the church of today, and we want to lift them up and honor them. So we just want to Encourage them anytime you get a chance and keep their leaders in prayer. And we just love each and every one of you. All righty, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord, for letting us feel your holy presence, dear Lord. As we prepare to depart now, dear Lord, we just ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. And Lord, as we do for every service, may we be praying for the service tonight, the service Wednesday night, and continuation. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for letting us draw closer to you, dear Lord, for calling on us, dear Lord, to be in a relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for all that we do. Thank you for our visitors and everyone here this morning. Lord, for those watching online, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God.